Medieval History, 7th grade. May 18th through May 22nd, Review Week. Tuesday, May 19th. History Unit, Semester Review. Lesson 2, Gregorius Magnus, Gregory the Great. Socratic guiding question. Keep this question in mind as you study. What makes for a good pope? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of the lesson. Number 1. Explain whether the motivations of Pope Gregory the Great were primarily secular, religious, or some combination of the two. Introduction. Look closely at the image on page 6 and try to remember the answers to the questions below. If you do not remember, you can find the answers in the first paragraph on the next page. Number 1. Who is the man seated in red and white on the left? Number 2. Who is the man in green on the right? Number 3. What is the meaning of the hand gesture of the man on the left? Number 4. What kind of book is the man on the right carrying? Number 5. Why is he carrying it? Pope Gregory the Great. The man in red seated on the left is Pope Gregory the Great. The man holding the book on the right wearing green is Augustine of Canterbury. The fact that Gregory is seated in a chair, cathedra, is a sign of his authority. Gregory has given Augustine the book, probably either a mass book containing key portions of the Bible, or a book of prayers drawn from the Bible, especially the Psalms. And Gregory's pointed finger symbolizes that he is sending Augustine to evangelize the people of England. You will notice that all the characters have an interesting haircut, known as a tonsure. T-O-N-S-U-R-E. You may remember that this tonsure was done to monks as a symbol of the crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head when he was crucified. Before he was pope, Gregory had used his inheritance to start many monasteries and then left his political career behind to become a monk. Yet even when he became pope, Gregory kept his monastic discipline as much as possible and was a strong supporter, defender, and cultivator of monasteries throughout Europe. He also chose many of his closest advisors, as well as missionaries from monks, as is evident here. As you may remember, Gregory the Great was born to a wealthy family in Rome. After his parents' death, he used his inheritance to start 7 monasteries around Italy. Though initially a political leader, he left his career behind to join a monastery himself, and eventually became abbot there. He later was chosen to be a papal legate ambassador in Constantinople before he was made pope. He was pope from 590 to 604 AD. He was one of the most capable popes of the early Middle Ages. He made every effort to suppress heresy. He carried on an amazing correspondence on every conceivable subject connected with the church. He was a master of music and codified the type of music known as plain song for use in the liturgy of the church. And he wrote hymns. He was an able administrator and one determined to be obeyed. Yet he believed that an ideal ruler was one who served those whom he ruled. And it was Gregory the Great who first used the title adopted by succeeding popes, Servus Servorum Dei, that is, servant of the servants of God. Besides the care of the church and lands already Christian, the papacy of Gregory was characterized by his missionary work in the northern parts of Europe, and especially by the mission he sent to England. The selection below is taken from Gregory the Great's most influential writing, the Pastoral Rule, which he wrote as a guideline for how priests should live. Number 1. List at least 4 things that Pope Gregory did during his life. Selections from the Pastoral Rule of Gregory the Great. Read and annotate. Number 2. The ruler, priest, should always be pure in thought, inasmuch as no impurity ought to pollute him who has undertaken the office of wiping away the stains of pollution in the hearts of others also. For the hand that would cleanse from dirt must needs be clean, lest, being itself sordid with clinging mire, it soil all the more whatever it touches. For on this account it is said through the prophet, Be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Isaiah 52:11. for they bear the vessels of the Lord who undertake, on the surety of their own conversation, to conduct the souls of their neighbors to the eternal sanctuary. Let them therefore perceive within themselves how purified they ought to be who carry in the bosom of their own personal responsibility living vessels to the temple of eternity. Number 4. The ruler should be discreet in keeping silence, profitable in speech, lest he either utter what ought to be suppressed, or suppress what he ought to utter. For, as incautious speaking leads into error, so careless silence leaves in error those who might have been instructed. Number 6. The ruler should be, through humility, a companion of good livers, and through the zeal, enthusiasm, passion for righteousness, strict against the vices of evildoers, so that in nothing he prefer himself to the good, and yet when the fault of the bad requires it, he be at once conscious of the power of his priority, to the end that, while among those beneath his authority who live well, he waives his rank and accounts them as his equals, he may not fear to execute the laws of morality towards the wicked. Number 11. But all this is rightly done by a ruler, if, inspired by the spirit of heavenly fear and love, he meditate daily on the precepts of sacred writ, Scripture, that the words of divine warning may restore in him the power of care and of wise caution with regard to the heavenly life, which common talk with men continually destroys, and that one who is drawn to oldness of life by secular society may by the goal of sorrow for sin be ever renewed to love of the spiritual country. For the heart runs greatly to waste in the midst of human talk, and since it is undoubtedly evident that, when driven by the tumults of external occupations, it loses its balance and falls, one ought incessantly to take care that, through keen pursuit of instruction, it may rise again. For hence it is that Paul admonishes his disciple who had been put over the flock, saying, "Till I come, give attendance to reading," 1 Timothy 4:13. Hence David says, "How have I loved your law, O Lord! It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 109, verse 97. Number 1. According to Gregory the Great's pastoral rule, what are 3 necessary qualities and duties of the priest? This concludes the material for Tuesday, May 19th.